for the next few lessons, I'm going to be speaking about that F word, failure. Failure is real. We'll never be able to live a meaningful life for Christ if we are tied to the failures of the past. Paul was an example for us all. He says, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to that which lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul had failed. Paul had sinned, but he knew that he had been forgiven. Satan's strategy is to get Christians to become so preoccupied with their failures that they forget that they have been forgiven. The greatest blunder of Christians is not their failures when trying to live for Christ. A greater mistake is that they do not understand God's provision for sin, failure, and guilt. Our Lord's death on the cross included a sacrifice for all of our sins and failures of the past. Every sin that you have ever committed has been paid for. Christ doesn't find it hard to forgive us. It is not as though he must regretfully give us another chance. The price for forgiveness has already been paid. It's lesson time. Scoot up your chair. Lean in. The woman sat quietly, carefully pondering her next sentence. Then she scooted her chair forward, leaned in, as if to give special emphasis to each word. "God cannot bless us," she says. "We cannot be happy. We should never have been married." Her story? She was reared in a Christian home, and as she grew older, she deeply resented her parents' restrictions, especially because they disapproved of the boys that she dated. The arguments which erupted serve only to deepen the gap between her and her parents' belief. She was determined to do as she pleased, and she did. By the time she announced her wedding, she was already 3 months pregnant. Failure. Not much is written on the subject of failure. Failure is one of the uglies of life. Many Christians feel trapped because of ugly circumstances. Some have made wrong choices and have been discouraged because they are out of the will of God. This lady, deep within, was bitter. She knew her parents had been right, but she was too proud to admit it. She swore that her marriage would work. It didn't. Her husband was not that carefree and thoughtful man that she had believed he was. She felt trapped because she had to marry him. He felt the same way about her. She spent hours dreaming of what she might have done, whom she might have married if she had not become attached to this thing. It was pride, the determination not to admit they were wrong, that helped their marriage together. And now she finds herself wondering about God's will for her life. She wished that God could bless her and her husband, but could she honestly expect God's help in this marriage after her deliberate disobedience? Maybe she was supposed to have been a missionary. Maybe. There's little use in trying to speculate now. The fact remains that she was married to a man whom she feels that God never intended for her. How could she be happy now that she was permanently, till death do us part, out of the will of God? So what happens when Christians marry the wrong partner? When they refuse to accept God's call to a missionary field, or bypass countless opportunities because of unbelief and disobedience, can they ever again prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Sometimes we get the impression that the will of God is like an egg, a heavenly Humpty Dumpty. Presumably, God expects us to do a balancing act as we walk an invisible tightrope. One mistake, or at the most two, and no one, not even God, can put Humpty Dumpty back again. Of course, it is true that one sin, or even an error in judgment, can be costly. One immoral relationship, one selfish and thoughtless choice, or one bypassed opportunity can have devastating consequences. But we must remember that God is never finished with anyone who repents. Anyone can be forgiven. Anyone can yet do the will of God. Let me explain. Does God have an ideal plan for everyone's life? To answer this, let's begin one step further back. Does God have an ideal plan for the world? Presumably, an ideal world would not have any sin and human misery. God's ideal world was the Garden of Eden. His ideal people were Adam and Eve. Sin ruined this perfect setup. Disobedience brought evil and death to the human race. Sin even affected the planet, and all of the nature was cursed. Did the fall of man cause an emergency in heaven? Was God caught off guard? Was God in despair, thinking that mankind could never have fellowship with him again? No, sir. God did not have to hurriedly depend on a makeshift backup plan. He was not caught off guard. The coming of our Lord was not a last-minute decision made in the wake of disaster. Redemption was planned long before sin entered into the world. In Titus, the first chapter, verse 2 tells us that God promised eternal life before the world began. The God who knows and controls all things had already planned to take a ruined world and incorporate it into his program. Since Adam sinned, God has been working in and with and in spite of sinful conditions. The ideal world was ruined, but God instituted another ideal plan. That is the plan of redemption. God chose to use evil to accomplish his purpose. Evil is not the enemy that took God by surprise. God has not chosen to destroy evil by one sovereign act. Rather, he has chosen to let it exist and to redeem us from sin. Where sin doeth abound, my Bible tells me that grace does much more abound. To talk about the ideal life is quite futile. Since we are all born as children of wrath, we have all experienced sins and failures. The only ideal life will be in heaven. And if you are listening to this today, you are not there. What I have found is this, that in the context of our sinful world condition, God still has a plan for everyone's life. It includes such matters as vocation, marriage partner, or the like thereof, and even minute details of everyday life. The very hairs on our heads are numbered. So, what if we should err on one point or another? What if we disobey God and sin greatly, or marry the wrong person? Will God be caught off guard? Will he be forced to activate an emergency plan? God is as prepared to help us today as he was to help Adam in his day. God is a specialist in the sin disease. His son died to remedy our situation. And if we repent and seek him, he will make the best arrangement possible within the context of our failure. And as a result, we can never reach the place where God is no longer willing to direct us. He is well prepared to work in and through conditions that are less than ideal.